This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Shaoning. It's 7.19 a.m. Wednesday, the 19th of May. Taking a look at education. Schools have been subjected to closures since the start of this health pandemic last year. The effects on students have been upsetting, to say the least.
The disruption has left children about one academic year behind in terms of studies, with no solution in sight, given that the COVID-19 outbreak doesn't seem to be slowing down. Mounting criticisms towards the government from frustrated students, teachers and parents have amounted to very little, with glaring issues yet to be discussed. These include the lack of long-term plans so that students aren't left behind in their studies, the supply of online devices to poor families, and the cancellation of major exams as a means to alleviate the stress of students struggling to keep up with disrupted lessons.
Now, 1 year on, parents and educators are asking why the education system is still without a proper framework for continuous learning in this COVID-19 era. And joining us to discuss this further is Chan Sun Seng, CEO of Teach for Malaysia. Sun Seng, thanks so much for joining us this morning. So it's been more than a year into this pandemic, but a consistent and effective framework system for continuous learning during school closures has yet to come into existence. Why do you think that is?
Good morning, everyone, and it's good to be here. Thanks for having me. Whatever it is, distance learning is not an ideal situation. It's a situation that we all don't want to be in, right? But that being said, you're absolutely right in that we need a framework that is going to be able to cater to the needs in the best possible way that we can. So the Ministry of Education actually does have a framework. In fact, they've released two frameworks across the past year for home-based learning, or PDPR. And most recently, in February of this year, they did release PDPR version 2.0. And in PDPR version 2.0, there are actually more guidelines around the various modes as to which distance learning or home-based learning can be conducted. I think a challenge with the framework is really around the communication of the framework. And are all of the stakeholders who are involved in the educational process, which includes parents and the community, also including all teachers, are they fully informed as to how the framework works, the different modes of delivery of home-based learning, and how those modes are then utilized to cater to the various needs of their students? So the challenge that we then see with the implementation of the framework is that sometimes schools may take a one-size-fits-all approach, or teachers may take a certain approach to meet the needs of certain students, but it may not cater for all students. So for example, as a teacher, you would have varying students with varying degrees of connectivity. So for example, maybe 50% of your class in an urban area, maybe 50% of your class has a strong internet connection and can connect to online classes. Maybe another 30% of them can maybe connect through instant messaging on WhatsApp, for example. And then maybe the rest of your class just might not even have a stable internet connection or a device of their own to utilize. So then a challenge is that teachers then need to cater for the varying needs of these connectivity levels. And what tends to happen often is that teachers will take one mode of delivery and then apply that across all of the different connectivity levels. And the challenge then is that students with for example, if you then take the connectivity level that meets the needs of kids with less connectivity, students or from families which have stronger connectivity will be complaining because they won't be getting the online lessons that they would be expecting. And so these are some of the challenges with the rollout of the framework.
Yes, I'm saying it's not the easiest thing to solve at this point. And it, whatever way you look at it, it seems that we're going to find some kind of divergence in terms of the education system here. But if you could alter or improve the framework here to address this, what would you maybe change or include or improve?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I think the first thing is really about how are you engaging all of the stakeholders in this process. So the framework is set out, but it's not necessarily designed in a way that is very very engaging for people. So it's just a written document. It has very little diagrams. It's only available in one language. It doesn't cater to all the vernacular needs of the country, and that needs to be communicated really effectively to parents. So if you, for example, you go to the MOE website, that's not front and center on the MOE website. So it's not easily accessible if you were just a regular member of the community or a member of the public, right? So I think stronger parental engagement is really key at this point. And then schools really need to work with parents to be able to communicate and engage parents in the kind of strategies that they're using to deliver PDPR during this period of time. I think another thing that is unrealized that can be expanded further is the content that is available to students. So the ministry has released DidicTV, which we've seen earlier this year. But DidicTV is a single channel, and that only caters to sort of smaller groups of people. So it's not a comprehensive solution. So for example, in Korea, they have I think they have 10 channels, 10 educational channels as well as radio channels that complement their online class strategy. And in the UK, what they have is they have every single subject and every single lesson available online as online lessons that teachers can use, so that teachers don't have to produce that content themselves. So there are other aspects of content that can be created to support teachers and their ability to roll it out, because at this point in time, teachers are constantly having to to create content as well as deliver as well.
And what are your thoughts as well on the removal of both the UPSR and PT3 examinations? Did that make sense to you?
Yeah, so I mean, I think when we look at UPSR, let's look at UPSR first. I think it's been a move that the ministry has really been trying to shift away from for a very long time. And it is definitely something that I agree with from the principle of why it has been removed. And so with the current system that has been designed, more than 10 years or approximately 10 years ago, the ministry has started shifting towards a school-based approach towards assessments, with the aspiration of eventually removing UPSR. And so we've seen sort of in the past couple of years, we've seen sort of a removal of high stakes examinations across the primary level. So examinations from standard 1 to 3 were removed previously, and UPSR has always been the plan to abolish UPSR eventually, because we have so much high stakes testing in our education system. And so it's actually a good thing to remove that away, so that teachers can actually just focus on learning that meets their students' needs instead of trying to prep them for an examination. So UPSR, this is the opportune time to remove UPSR. So it is something that I think that makes sense, and in the long run, we'll continue to move our education system towards a more holistic, non-exam oriented education system. The cancellation of PT3 PT3 is cancelled so UPSR is abolished entirely and is replaced by school-based assessments and various other instruments. PT3 is cancelled for this year, but the examination itself is not abolished, and so that's a response to this year and the pandemic. We also do not need the high stakes test, in my opinion. In fact, actually, Malaysia, one of our biggest issues in the Malaysian education system is our high stakes testing, and the more that we can reduce that, the better. So if we look to systems like Finland, they only have one national examination, which is at the end of secondary school. And if we were to emulate that, obviously there's a lot that needs to be done to make that effective, because Malaysia is such a system that is ingrained and oriented towards examinations, but we do need to make that move.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sun Seng. That was Chan Sun Seng, CEO of Teach for Malaysia, giving us some insight into, the struggles that the education system is facing in this time of COVID.
Yeah, and I know that last point about examinations, I'm sure there are some parents and some students who'll be happy about and agree with his comments, but I know there are a lot of parents who like having those examinations, right?
As a kind of a benchmark.
It's a
for
benchmark
them, right?
And all of that, all those things. But maybe this is that, as he noted, I guess, or was alluding to, this is that reset for the education system in terms of coming up with something entirely new after this.
Could well be. So we'll have to wait and see how this situation continues to develop. Right now, though, heading into the 7:30 news bulletin. And up next, we're discussing the economic implications of rising global debt with Steve Cochran, Chief APAC Economist at Moody's Analytics. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.